I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. On the program today, Florida Governor Charlie Crist to talk about the art of compromise. He's part of a new group called No Labels, which is officially launching on Monday. Organizers of the group, which include a former advisor to President George W. Bush, a number of U.S. senators, as well as, they say, some 1,000 public officials and activists from across the country who say that excessive partisanship is causing political gridlock. We'll talk about the recent tax compromise with Governor Crist, and also we'll talk about it later in the barbershop. But first to Governor Crist, who's long advocated the middle ground in Florida and in national politics. Most recently, he ran for the U.S. Senate unsuccessfully as an independent, and he's with us now from Tallahassee. Governor, thank you so much for joining us.
Michelle, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'd like to ask you about the origins of No Labels. How did this group come together? How did such a disparate group all find each other?
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think the idea here is that we want to have Americans come together to try to do what's right for all the people. And I think it's abundantly clear to most that, you know, hard right or hard left partisanship is not a recipe for success necessarily. And I think it's as simple as that.
Well, I think that many people would argue with you about that. For example, in your Senate campaign, one of the issues that was used against you is a picture of you and President Obama together. You originally ran as a Republican and then became an independent during the Senate campaign. So I think somebody might look at the outcome and say, why doesn't partisanship work?
Well, no, I think that's a very good point. And if I could elaborate, you know, there were three of us in the race. There was a Republican, the winner, Marco Rubio, congratulations to him, the Democrat, Congressman Kendrick Meek, and myself as an independent. And what it really came down to at the end, I believe, is sort of a split vote, if you will, between Congressman Meek and myself. He got about 20% of the vote. I got about 30%. And Senator-elect Rubio got 48%. So if you add those numbers together with the congressman and myself splitting the vote, I think that the majority felt that it was better to work with people rather than to do the opposite. And I think had it been a one-on-one race, it would have been a different outcome. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think that, you know, what No Labels is all about is trying to move forward in a civil way to try to have success for our country and not just have, you know, the partisanship that we've been exposed to even this week in Washington as it relates to the tax issue.
Well, tell me what you think is wrong with the system now and what you hope this group will do to fix that.
Well, I think recent events illustrate it pretty well. When you talk about reducing taxes, first, I think the president proposed reducing taxes for the middle class that would lower the tax burden on about 98% of our fellow Americans. And the Republican point of view was, well, that's not good enough. We need to reduce it not only on those who make $250,000 or less, but those who make more than that. Now, what the president has done recently is say, look, I'm willing to compromise. It doesn't have to be what necessarily the Democratic Party wants. It can be, you know, an extension of all the tax cuts because I think, and I certainly can't speak for him, but I think that he feels that in the lame duck session, that may be the best that can be achieved. And it looks like, at least at present, that some in the Democratic Party are dissatisfied with that and don't think that that's appropriate. But I hope he's successful because I think that there is an opportunity and a window of opportunity here before the new Congress comes to Washington to be able to relieve that tax burden on all American people. And I think that will help the economy, and it's common sense and the right thing to do.
Well, you don't have to speak for the president. We'll let him speak for himself. I'll just play a short clip of what he had to say. In fact, his comments echo yours. Here's what he had to say.
This country was founded on compromise. I couldn't go through the front door of this country's founding. And, you know, if we were really thinking about ideal positions, we wouldn't have a union.
Now, that, of course, was President Obama at his news conference on Tuesday, where he faced the press after the compromise was announced. But there are those who would look at that and say, this is an example of why partisanship works, because the reason that a compromise was arrived at is that, you know, the president took his strong position, the Republicans took their strong position, and that's how the whole thing got hammered out. So what do you say to that?
Well, you can't have that compromise succeed unless you have a conclusion that has it pass. I mean, we've had examples during my term as governor of Florida where we had to compromise on the reduction of property taxes. Some would agree to a certain extent and others would not. And so what I decided to do, and fortunately was able to convince both Republicans and Democrats to do it, was say, well, let's take half a loaf instead of no bread and at least get some reduction for the people of Florida and move forward in a successful way. So, you know, people can start out with their partisan position, but if they're too rigid and they remain partisan, you don't have success for the people. And the people are the ones who deserve government to work for them.
Okay, but can I just push you on this whole question of whether compromise is really the ideal? Because from the Republican standpoint, if you look at the gains that Republicans made in the midterm elections, you know, some 60 seats in the House, expanding their majority in the Senate, Democrats were very frustrated over the course of this last 2 years saying that Republicans had become the party of no. But from the Republican standpoint, why wouldn't you argue that holding a strong stance, having a kind of a clear and unified position is exactly why they expanded their majority in the Congress? In fact, here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying he welcomed compromise with the president, but he said that Republicans succeeded by holding a firm line. Here's what he had to say.
Their view is that we haven't cooperated enough. I think what the American people were saying yesterday is that they appreciated us saying no to the things that the American people indicated they were not in favor of. So I think the group that should hopefully get the message out of yesterday's elections is our friends on the other side of the aisle.
So how do you argue with success would be my question.
It's a very good point. And I think that, you know, we have to look at the overall picture to determine what ultimate success is. Clearly, they made significant gains as it relates to the members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate. But let's look at the current makeup, even after the election. You know, you have a Democrat in the White House, obviously. The Democrats control the United States Senate, and the Republicans will control the United States House. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, sort of after the election day, after the fact, what you have is a government in Washington where the Democrats hold two-thirds of the cards. And so, you know, still you're going to have Republicans who are willing to be reasonable, to utilize common sense in order to get some tax reduction, which I think is very important and I hope will be successful before Christmas. And I think, you know, Americans are frustrated if the partisans get too entrenched and don't ultimately reach a compromise that benefits the people first and foremost.
Once again, if you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're speaking to outgoing Florida Governor Charlie Crist. He's a part of this new group called No Labels. It's seeking middle ground in what they say is an increasingly hyper-partisan political atmosphere that's leading to political gridlock. And I also want to sort of mention that, you know, we are based here in Washington, D.C., and we hear members of Congress from different political parties say that within some of the caucuses, even having social relationships with members of other parties is no longer welcome.
Well, and that's fine and well and good. You know, you've got to stand for what you believe is important, but you've also got to try to achieve success. It really makes me think of President Ronald Reagan and Speaker Tip O'Neill, who probably didn't agree on a whole lot of things during both their tenure, but yet were able to get along and at the end of the day, you know, go out and have a cold one and, you know, understand that it's important for them to be civil, even though they don't agree on everything, in order to have success for both of their constituencies. And I think that sort of attitude of trying to forge relationships, even with people that you don't agree with on every single thing, is very, very important to future success for America.
How will you know if this effort of which you are a part, this No Labels effort, is a success? What will be your gauge?
Well, I think the gauge is the mood of the country and you know, possibly how elections can be successful in the future where you have people of a more moderate or centrist view that do gain elective office. And I think that will happen. You know, the mood swings very quickly. I mean, look, just 2 years ago, the sense of hope and positive feeling that came in with the election of President Obama, I mean, obviously that seems to have shifted quite dramatically in the current environment. But I think the things that he's trying to do to reach back to the center will give the country an opportunity to come together again. I certainly hope so for the sake of us all.
Lastly, Governor, before I let you go, and certainly, of course, we wish you the very best in this next phase of your life.
Thank you.
I wanted to have one little blast from the past. You'll recognize this. I'm just going to play Jim Morrison singing Touch Me. Here it is.
Touch me, baby. Can't you see I'm gonna pay? Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. No, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Now, of course, this was 1969 in Miami, and then it was alleged that he exposed himself in the course of this performance. And you led the effort to pardon the now deceased Jim Morrison of this charge. He was charged with this more than 40 years ago. You finally succeeded. You did pardon him. And I just wanted to know why that was important to you.
Well, it was important to me because, you know, before I was governor, I served as attorney general. And I remember the outgoing attorney general, Bob Butterworth, a great friend, said to me, said, Charlie, it's very important to prosecute the guilty, but it's probably even more important to exonerate the innocent. The evidence that was presented at the trial of Mr. Morrison some 40 years ago really was not conclusive. There were no photographs, and there were no video available that in a concrete way would have led to his conviction. He was convicted on two misdemeanors, but then filed an appeal. And tragically, he died before his appeal was ever heard. And I think it's important to note that the charges against him for the initial trial weren't even brought until 4 days after the concert. And so there was so much question and controversy about the original conviction and the lack of him being able to have his appeal that it seemed to me the right thing to do was to let the ultimate judge of all of our guilt or innocence, God, make that decision. And so we pardoned him yesterday. It was a unanimous vote of the clemency board here in Florida. And I believe it was simply the right thing to do.
Are you a Doors fan?
I am a Doors fan. How could you not be?
Okay.
And he's a son of Florida.
Question.
I mean, you know,
right.
Jim Morrison was born in Melbourne, Florida, and grew up in the Clearwater area and attended Florida State University, my alma mater.
All right. Well, there you go. Charlie Crist is the outgoing governor of Florida. He is a part of a new group called No Labels, which says it's taking the moderate middle ground at a time of hyperpartisan politics. He was kind enough to join us from his office in Tallahassee. Governor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Michelle, it's great to be with you.